Tonight, was it a setup? NBC News learning the emerging theory at the Pentagon about that deadly ambush in Niger as a widow makes an emotional appeal for answers. Your retirement money. The president weighs in on a possible plan to change 401ks. Secret settlement. A bombshell new report about Bill O'Reilly and allegations of sexual misconduct. O'Reilly now responding. JFK assassination files could be released within days. What will they reveal? Building the wall, our team at the border, the first look at what it could look like. Sounding the alarm about the number one killer of firefighters in America.
I have kidney cancer.
I have brain cancer.
There's no cure for it.
Stricken by a danger they can't see as departments order major changes. And Medal of Honor for a hero who risked his own life to save so many others. Also tonight, while the World Series could be a record breaker.
This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening to our viewers in the West. NBC News has learned that the four Americans killed in that ambush in Niger may have walked into a carefully set trap. Their attackers are aware of exactly where they would be. That theory gaining steam in the Pentagon tonight as its top general is acknowledging the military owes more answers to the families of those slain soldiers. And late today, he went before the press to try and fill in some of the crucial blanks. The Americans were killed in what they apparently thought was a low-risk mission. And as that investigation continues, so does a dispute that overshadows their sacrifice. Our chief White House correspondent, Hallie Jackson, has details.
Late tonight, NBC News is learning the ambush in Niger may have been a setup, a sneak attack by terrorists tipped off in advance about a meeting between U.S. Special Forces and tribal leaders in a village sympathetic to ISIS. Three officials briefed on the matter say that's the emerging theory among Pentagon investigators.
A big part of the mission there is meeting with the locals, getting in with them, getting intelligence from them. But what this mission shows is just how dangerous that can be.
Today, the nation's top military officer tried to explain what went so wrong.
We owe the families that have fallen more information.
In a rare briefing, General Joseph Dunford says U.S. Special Forces, who perhaps thought they could handle the fight themselves, waited an hour after the initial confrontation to call for air support.
Did the mission change? That is one of the questions that's being asked. It's a fair question, but I can't tell you definitively the answer to that question.
Too early, he says, to answer that question or others, like one from the pregnant wife of Sergeant LaDavid Johnson.
I want to know why it took them 48 hours to find my husband. Why couldn't I see my husband? Every time I asked to see my husband, they wouldn't let me.
Maisha Johnson met her husband when she was six. He was 25 when she held his funeral Saturday, days after that now controversial condolence call from President Trump.
I heard him stumbling on trying to remember my husband's name. And that would hurt me the most because if my husband is out here fighting for our country and he risked his life for our country, why can't you remember his name?
The president, responding to that interview on Twitter, says he spoke her husband's name from beginning without hesitation in what he describes as a respectful conversation.
Thank you. Thank you.
He's not answering questions today.
But
lawmakers have plenty.
Questions about it, why four men died. That's the question that most Americans want to know.
Some lawmakers will receive a classified briefing on Capitol Hill Thursday. Defense officials say they want the Pentagon investigation to be quick, but more importantly, accurate. The bottom line here, military leaders say all Americans deserve answers, but so far, they don't have many. Lester.
All right. Hallie Jackson of the White House, thank you. At an uproar this evening in Washington that could affect your retirement savings, a possible plan to limit the amount you can contribute to your 401k. That's the way so many people save. NBC's Peter Alexander is at the White House with details. Peter, the president is saying not so fast. So what's the deal here?
Yeah, Lester, that's right. President Trump today publicly knocking down this idea that he would make any changes, frankly, to one of Americans' favorite ways to save money, that 401k retirement plan. This comes after reports that Republicans were weighing whether to slash the amount that workers can set aside for their 401k each year from $18,000 to as low as $2,400. That idea sparking a backlash. The president today on Twitter promising no change to your 401k, adding, "This has always been a great and popular middle-class tax break that works, and it stays." Now, Republicans are scrambling for other ways to try to pay for sweeping tax cuts without ballooning the deficit. They insist their plan would unleash economic growth. Ivanka Trump even hitting the road on behalf of her father to make a pitch today. President Trump's already giving House Republicans a blunt warning on this, basically saying past tax cuts are losing the ballot box next year, Lester.
All right, Peter Alexander, thank you. There's new fallout tonight from an explosive report about former Fox News star Bill O'Reilly. O'Reilly fired back today after the New York Times reported he had paid out a $32 million settlement for sexual harassment a month before Fox News renewed his contract. And today, NBC's own Megyn Kelly breaking her silence and opening up about O'Reilly, her former colleague. We get more from NBC's Kate Snow.
I have been in the broadcast business for 43 years, 12 different companies. Never one time was there any complaint filed against me.
Bill O'Reilly on defense today after a bombshell New York Times report saying he reached a $32 million sexual harassment settlement in January with Lise Wheel, a Fox News analyst. The Times also reporting that a month later, 21st Century Fox renewed the star anchor's contract. 21st Century Fox says it knew of the settlement, but not the details, and fired O'Reilly after being made aware of other allegations last spring, adding they've taken steps to change their leadership.
O'Reilly's suggestion that no one ever complained about his behavior is false. I know because I complained.
NBC's Megyn Kelly this morning shared an email she wrote to Fox News executives in November 2016, complaining that O'Reilly was shaming women into shutting the hell up and noting his history of harassment of women.
This must stop. The abuse of women, the shaming of them, the threatening, the retaliation, the silencing of them after the fact. It has to stop.
O'Reilly responded to Kelly.
She didn't file a complaint. Not that I know of.
And today he said he confidentially resolved three cases while employed at Fox News, but was unable to comment on the details. The New York Times has reported at least six settlements totaling $45 million. The paper releasing audio of O'Reilly meeting with their reporters last week.
We have physical proof that this is bull. Bull. Okay? So it's on you if you want to destroy my children further. It's politically and financially motivated.
Former Fox News host Juliette Huddy is one of the women who settled a case with O'Reilly. She, too, is unable to comment on the confidential settlement.
I'm terrified. I'm actually terrified. It's difficult. I think people have regrets. I think people have regrets when they sign non-disclosure agreements.
Huddy is part of a growing chorus, not just against Bill O'Reilly, but a list of powerful men. Allegations have now surfaced at Amazon Studios, Vox Media, Nickelodeon, and against a Hollywood director. And the New York Attorney General's office is now investigating the Weinstein Company for workplace sexual harassment, issuing a subpoena to the company, seeking more information. Lester.
All right, Kate, thank you very much. Some 13 million people on alert tonight for severe weather after a possible tornado tore through Spartanburg, South Carolina, blowing over tractor trailers and ripping off roofs. Strong winds also overturning small planes and causing this tree to crash into a home in North Carolina. Tornado watches are in effect for parts of the Carolinas and Virginia this evening. Tomorrow, 33 million are under the threat as it moves to the northeast. A community remains on edge tonight, 2 weeks after the first in a series of murders that police believe may be linked to a serial killer. As investigators scour for clues, police took extra measures today to protect school children from the potential threat. NBC's Kerry Sanders has the latest now from Tampa.
An unprecedented police presence in this Tampa neighborhood tonight. Officers even escorting children home from school. Residents terrorized by a possible serial killer.
We have no idea who is not safe. It feels terrible.
Baffled detectives have only this video of someone they're calling a person of interest. In a 10-day period, three victims with no obvious links shot and killed. White ribbons in the streets honoring their memory. 32-year-old Monica Hoffa was a waitress and volunteer for the deaf, learning sign language to talk to her hearing-impaired mother. Her father, heartbroken.
Finding out that she had been shot randomly by a lunatic It's just more than somebody can bear. What kind of person shoots someone and just walks away?
Is the fear legitimate?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Somebody else could be the next victim.
You know, we hope not, but that is always a possibility until we apprehend this individual.
Assisting in the manhunt, code inspectors searching homes abandoned after Hurricane Irma, and the guardian angels walking the streets and alleyways.
As a police officer, you see
places that people can hide, set up camps, do stuff that nobody can see.
Tonight, no motive, few clues, and plenty of fear. Standing room only at a community meeting right here. Police telling residents to keep their porch lights on. Each of the three murders has occurred at night. Lester?
All right. Kerry Sanders in Tampa, thank you. A critical deadline is fast approaching this week for one of President Trump's signature campaign promises, the wall he proposes to build along the border with Mexico. While the fight over funding continues tonight, we've got an early look at what that controversial wall could look like if built. NBC's Jacob Soboroff has more from the border.
Just east of San Diego, between the two existing border fences, mock-ups of President Trump's proposed border walls are taking shape.
These are pretty tall.
They are, 18 to 30 feet tall.
Today, the full wall isn't funded, only these samples built by contractors.
There are a total of 8 prototypes, 4 of which are constructed out of concrete and then 4 that are constructed out of alternate material.
The president said he'll come to see the final product scheduled to be finished on Thursday.
So what happens now? Does the president come out here and literally say, okay, I like that one?
We're going to test it for breachability, for the subterranean aspect. Can we dig under it? Can we cut through it? Can we scale over it?
What happened? The people are crossing.
Almost on cue, a group of asylum seekers jumped over the existing fence to turn themselves in to agents on horseback.
Girl there with a pink backpack. Can you explain to me what's going on?
This is a reality of everyday border enforcement.
Another reality? People just a stone's throw away will ultimately decide if Trump's wall works.
We made our way to the Mexican side of the border, and this is the primary fence, the thing that Donald Trump doesn't think is big enough to keep people out of the United States. And this is the spot where earlier we saw those folks jump over the wall and into the U.S. It's a high wall. You think people are still going to try to cross?
De alguna forma, pues van a buscar motivos para cruzar.
Is this new big wall is going to stop Mexicans from coming to the U.S.?
No sé por qué Donald Trump está aferrado con el gasto innecesario de esto.
Life goes on in the shadow of the prototypes, but still missing money for the wall itself. Tonight here in Mexico, as the prototypes near completion, locals remain skeptical of the impact President Trump's wall will have. Back in Washington, members of Congress who could ultimately fund President Trump's wall do too. That as apprehensions here along the southern border are at all-time lows. Lester?
All right, Jacob Soboroff in Tijuana tonight. Thank you. We turn now to an alarming new look at what is now the number one killer of firefighters in this country. Surprisingly, it is not running into burning buildings, but rather the cancer that can come from fighting today's modern fires. Congress is considering creating a national cancer registry to keep track of rising cancer rates among firefighters as departments order big safety changes. Here's NBC's Tom Costello.
At the nation's oldest fire department, the alarm sounds 234 times a day. But what's killing Boston firefighters is all too often a danger they can't see. Glenn Preston, undergoing chemotherapy and a bone marrow transplant at Dana-Farber Brigham and Women's Hospital. Just 41, married with 4 kids and battling blood cancer.
They're doing the best they can, but it's back and it's in the lining of my heart and tumors in the lining of my heart now.
Unfortunately, he's one of many. Chicago, San Francisco, Houston, L.A., and Seattle fire departments are all tracking elevated cancer rates. Unique to New York, 163 Ground Zero firefighters and EMTs have since died. But in Boston, where it's illegal for firefighters to smoke, 3 new cancer cases are reported each month, twice the rate of city residents.
Certainly, this is an epidemic in the fire service. This is something that's going to consume us.
Researchers say today's fires involving synthetics, plastics, and chemicals can cover firefighters in a toxic soot.
I have kidney cancer.
I have brain cancer.
There's no cure for it.
On the memorial wall at fire headquarters, the faces of cancer.
190 firefighters who have died of job-related cancer just since 1990. Far more than the number who have died actually fighting fires.
Now, departments across the country are ordering changes, keeping firefighters on air bottles longer. Masks must stay on until crews are outside and washed down, and protective turnout gear machine washed.
Think about your wife, your husband, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, before you take that mask off your face.
The soot-covered face of an American firefighter, no longer a badge of honor.
It's trying to kill me, and we're not going to let that happen right now.
Tom Costello, NBC News, Boston.
A former American POW must now wait longer to learn if he'll spend the rest of his life in prison. A military judge delayed sentencing for Army Sergeant Bo Bergdahl to Wednesday to determine whether public comments from President Trump impacted the case. Bergdahl pleaded guilty to desertion and misbehavior before the enemy. Still ahead tonight, the secret JFK assassination files. Do they hold answers to questions still burning about one of the darkest chapters in American history? Also, the presidential pet that can't tell a fireplace from a fire hydrant. A hilarious moment caught on camera. Some of the nation's longest held secrets about an American tragedy and a turning point in history become public on Thursday. Historians are hoping thousands of pages about the assassination of President John F. Kennedy will answer some important questions. But will they put conspiracy theories to rest or open a storm of new ones? Here's NBC News Justice correspondent Pete Williams.
The Kennedy assassination in November 1963 launched a thriving conspiracy industry and stoked by questions raised in Oliver Stone's 1991 movie, JFK.
Why was Kennedy killed? Who benefited? Who has the power to cover it up? Who?
The official investigation concluded that one man, Lee Harvey Oswald, a former Marine who once tried to defect to the Soviet Union, acted alone in killing the president. But Congress decided in 1992 that because so much information in the Kennedy files was classified, undermining public confidence in that conclusion, the National Archives was given 25 years to make all of it public, bit by bit. The last of it is due out Thursday.
I'm hoping to learn a lot more about what the government knew before the assassination about this man, Lee Harvey Oswald, because the story of the assassination has changed in recent years.
One big question, what was Oswald doing in Mexico 2 months before the assassination? President Trump says he'll allow the long-blocked and classified JFK files to be opened, assuming the CIA and FBI don't convince him to keep some of it classified, adding to the drama for Thursday's big reveal. Pete Williams, NBC News, Washington.
Coming up as we continue tonight, why this World Series could be the hottest matchup ever in more ways than one. In L.A., the World Series is suddenly the hottest ticket in town, and this year it could be the hottest, period. Tomorrow's Game 1 between the Dodgers and Astros could be played in near 100-degree heat in Los Angeles, topping the temperature in Arizona during the 2001 series. Palace intrigue caught on camera today in Paris. That's French President Macron holding a meeting with government ministers in a perfectly golden gilded room in the Élysée Palace. When suddenly everyone's attention turns to Macron's 2-year-old black Labrador Griffon named Nemo, loudly relieving himself in the fireplace. Apparently nature called, and as they say in France, he had to wee-wee. And what a save. A Texas high school senior with superhero moves, taking a flying leap over a teammate, diving out of bounds to bat a volleyball more than 30 feet over the net to keep the play alive and turn her into a viral sensation. Up next, the extraordinary bravery that earned this hero our nation's highest military honor. We were reminded today that some of the selflessness and bravery in combat we simply never learned about. Missions that, for whatever reason, remain forever cloaked in secrecy. It took many years for the veil to be lifted off one Vietnam-era battle in a place Americans were secretly operating at the time. And at the White House today, President Trump bestowed the Medal of Honor on a veteran of that fateful battle as he was surrounded by many more of those who served. Mike Rose was just 22 years old, a special forces medic and part of a secret mission deep in the jungle in Laos that came under intense attack. At one point, Rose desperately tried to save his injured team with anything he could.
I was down to shirt sleeves and bandanas.
Over 4 days, Rose would bravely treat 60 to 70 men, crawling through enemy fire to reach the wounded, even shielding them with his own body after he himself had been struck by shrapnel.
And that's the thought process that soldiers go through. do something. Just don't sit there. And in the case of the medic, the guy's down. You've got to do something to help him.
And today, 10 men from his unit, all these years later, gathered together at the White House.
Mike rescued those in distress without any thought for his own safety. I will tell you, the people with him could not believe what they were witnessing.
Rose receiving America's highest military honor.
Your devotion to your country inspires us all.
Even now, he doesn't see himself as a hero.
I'm just an ordinary guy that somehow was able to pull myself up and do, as somebody once said, an extraordinary thing for 4 days.
An ordinary guy who's accepting that medal on behalf of all who were in that battle. We appreciate you spending part of your evening with us. That is Nightly News for this Monday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching and good night.